This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to the show. It's Health News Digest. I'm Tina Camilla. In the studio with me, Tisha Oik and Juliet Jacobs. We're talking about how our bodies digest carbs.
So there's a video that's making its rounds on social media. It's from the BBC podcast series, The Truth About. And so this doctor has been trying this test with volunteers by giving them a cracker, asking them to time how long they start to recognize a change in taste. And apparently this will determine how well they can tolerate starchy carbs like rice, pasta and bread. And I think this is it's a different perspective, different from the nutritionist perspective on how our body breaks down carbs. And this test was actually developed and written about in a book by geneticist Sharon Molam 2 years ago, and he was trying to discover how much of the enzyme amylase people have. His book is called, it's a very catchy title, The DNA Restart, Unlock Your Personal Genetic Code to Eat for Your Genes, Lose Weight and Reverse Aging.
It's like nutrigenomics or something like that, isn't it?
Almost, yes.
Of the pop science version.
Yes, it's very pop science-y. You know, it's definitely trying to get your attention and promise a lot of things. And the premise of his hypothesis is that the genes you inherit from your ancestors can influence the way you break down your food.
In a very general term, that's accurate, but
whether we can use it to almost sort of plan our eating habits, do you think that, you know, that correlation can be? And he's talking about losing weight and reversing aging.
See, I wouldn't go that far because all those things, it's multifactorial, like a lot of other things, right? It's not just your food or your genetics. It's also your environment and who you're around and what you do. And
whether you smoke, whether you drink, all those sorts of
how much money you have, because that affects what kind of food you can buy.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll just listen to Dr. Sharon's explanation about genes.
For the last, you know, longer than now 50 years, we've had this concept of one diet fits all. And slowly through genetics and sequencing the genome and looking around the world, we realized that the biggest actually difference genetically between populations and individuals is genes that are involved in the way in which we break down food. And this makes a lot of sense because if you look at all of our ancestors, they came from different parts of the world and they would do very different things to acquire their food. Some were doing intensive farming in the last 5,000 years, intensively farming cereal grains, while others were keeping animals and using their milk and milk products to survive. And of course, this had a big pressure on their genetics, and their genetics end up matching what they were eating. And what we've actually seen is the ability to have dairy products and to digest lactose, the sugar found in milk. And so most people on the planet actually don't have the genetics to do this. But if their ancestors kept animals, drank their milk and ate those products, they inherited a mutation that allowed them to do this.
Do you know what your ancestors did?
Okay, so I know very little, but I mean, we are from Kerala, and that is known as a fishing sort of community. So what I've heard is that I come from fisher folk, so I'm guessing a lot of fish.
Okay.
Protein-based diet.
So based on Dr. Sharon's theory, then perhaps you may not have inherited the genes to be able to break down carbohydrates.
That explains so much about my current situation, let's just put it at that.
And so how digestion is related to genes, at least in this particular story, is the enzyme amylase and how much of that we have in our body.
So the amylase enzyme actually resides in our saliva. So the first action when we are chewing something like rice, let's say, amylase will start working on breaking down the carbs in rice already. And the difference is that some people have saliva that's like supercharged with amylase, and some of us have very little and some have none at all. amylase is made when you have a gene called AMY1 in your body, and you inherit this copies of this gene from your parents. Some of us inherit just one copy from each parent. Some inherit 24, some more than 20, and that accounts for the differences in the levels of amylase that you have. Dr. Mollem explains more about this.
This gene helps to break down the starch that is in a heavy cereal-based diet. So if your ancestors were doing a lot of intensive farming, you're eating a lot of cereal grains, you'll have an extra dose of these genes to be able to break down that starch. And this is really important because, as a recent study actually confirmed, having those genes allows you to break down that starch without having a spike in your glucose. But eating exactly the same diet and not having those genes results in a very high glucose spike, and then a risk factor, as researchers now have shown, for diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and obesity. And so this might help explain for a lot of people who've been struggling trying the certain diet that's worked for someone else and doesn't really work for them. And the real reason behind that is genetic.
I remember doing like a rough experiment or a crude experiment in school where we have to eat rice, plain rice, like a whole mouthful of it, to see whether we can taste the sweetness after chewing on it after a while. Mm. Did you all not have that experiment in bio or science classes? No?
No,
we didn't.
Yeah, I remember doing that and to taste the sugar. Mm. And some people, you know, they be chewing it until it's nothing. Mm. Maybe they just swallowed it. That's why they didn't taste anything.
They just inhaled it.
but I remember tasting the sweetness after a while.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the same basis for this cracker test that Dr. Mollem came up with. He calls it, I'm sure yours didn't have such a fancy name, Tina. His is called the DNA Restart Cracker Self-Test. He devised it as like a home testing method that sort of can tell you whether or how much you have of this AMY1 gene in your body. The theory is that if you have enough amylase in your saliva, it will break down the carbs and you'll notice a change in taste. And different people, as you said, Tina, different people experience a change in taste at different times. Some don't experience it at all, right? And we did a replication study in the office. Our intern, Amanda, very studiously went around trying to offer people some crackers. What we found was that cream crackers were not effective. Dr. Mollem has said that you have to use saltines, unsalted or soda crackers, so that they are as bland or tasteless as possible. So what we did was we modified it, seeing that we live in a community where rice is staple. We tried it with rice, and we observed a more diverse range of effects. And you can watch that video on our Facebook page at The Bigger Picture.
The difference between this experiment from the one that I had done in my science class was that we're not just determining whether the participants can taste the change in the taste, but also how long it took them
to experience that change, yes.
And that difference tells you whether you have some, a lot, yes, or none at all of this amylase
in your saliva. Enzyme. That's right. So, I mean, the time categories are, they seem a bit arbitrary to me, but apparently from if you can taste it within 0 to 14 seconds, that means you have this full carb or full or high carb. Between 15 and 30 seconds, it's moderate. And more than 30 seconds, you considered having restricted carbs.
Did either one of you tried this test?
No, I haven't yet, but I am curious to know. But even if I do find out and it's, I mean, what does that actually mean to me?
So if you can't taste any change, mm-hmm, then perhaps you should limit the amount of carbs that you take, because you probably, according to this test, do not have this amylase enzyme and therefore cannot break down your starch efficiently.
Mm. So there's no magic pill that I can pop to up my amylase.
Like enzyme pills? Too.
We don't condone that.
Introduce
you can
amylase.
Blame it.
This is what people want to know.
Blame it on your fisherfolk ancestors.
It's always their fault. Everything is their fault, yeah.
But Dr. Mollem actually has a very precise amounts. He recommends very precise amounts of carbs that you should be eating if you fall into any of the three categories.
I broken the population down to three major categories. If you notice a fast change within 14 seconds, you're in the high carb category. And that means your ancestors had a lot of carbohydrates that they were taking in. And then you have the genetics and the physiology to deal with that diet. And that's up to about 50% carbohydrates. If it takes a bit longer for a taste change, for 14 to 30 seconds, you're moderate. And so instead of the 50% carbohydrate intake that you can in the high carb category, you're down to 35. And if you didn't experience any taste change at all, you're in the carbohydrate restricted category. And that probably means that your ancestors weren't doing intensive farming. They didn't have exposure to a lot of cereal grains. And that's in the more carbohydrate restricted category of about 25% carbohydrate intake.
I just don't know how he came up with the, you know, the time and the proportion of nutrient intakes. It seems very arbitrary to me.
Perhaps he isolated these amylase enzymes and threw them some crackers to see how fast it took the crackers to get broken down to simple sugars and then time them. I don't know. I'm just trying to help him out here. But you're right. Otherwise, it sounds a little bit arbitrary. But it does give us an idea, right? I mean, if you do not taste any change, the sweetness in the rice or crackers, then it means that you're only mechanically breaking down the rice. Mm. You're not
breaking down the nutrient.
Biochemically breaking down the rice into from a complex structure to a more refined structure. So it makes sense.
Yes.
But whether we want to follow accurately in terms of the time frame and then adjust our carb intake based on that, I don't know.
Mm. I mean, also when he talks about you know, if it points to how much of these genes you have in your body, as you said earlier, it's multifactorial as well. Our lifestyle, different kinds of environmental factors affect eventually whether we gain weight from something or and even epigenetics, right? You may have a certain gene, but whether it's expressed depends on your lifestyle. Whether those genes are being switched on or off. So, well, Molam, in his defense, says that the focus should be about bringing your life in line with your DNA. It's not about counting the calories. It's about knowing that if your DNA is structured in this way, you should be eating in a certain way to nourish it well. At the end of the day, you know, eat well, eat moderately. I always live by that.
But if I'm under the restricted, even if I'm eating moderately, it might tell me
your moderate should be different from our moderate.
That's fine. What? Arbitrary. Everything is arbitrary.
Yeah, that's pop science for you.
Yes.
Sorry, I find myself being so hostile, you know, when it comes to pop science. We discussed pop science previous episode and now we're attacking them again.
Especially with the fact that it's gone viral because of this video from BBC. There's very little explanation tagged to it. Perhaps if you read his entire book, we could glean more insight. But just the fact that people are basing it on watching that video, that's what we're trying to uncover here. And the answers don't seem to hold up.
I mean, I support the simplifying of science or complex science to make it more appealing to the masses, but oversimplifying is also dangerous.
Yes.
But here's another story that is probably more rigorous. Tea towels can cause food poisoning. That's coming up after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.